Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Drunk women solving crime. Drunk women. Drunk women solving crime. Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Taylor Glenn, and I'm a writer and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
As well as author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
This is where beer meets breaking and entering, Prosecco meets perjury, and vodka meets vandalism. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime...
Her vagina fell out!
No one said semen yet, sorry.
I've had an idea. Mulled wine at Christmas... in a hot water bottle. Take it to bed.
Female lockdown. Oh, yeah.
Can I just say this is the most fun I've had all lockdown. Thank you so much.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Remote Drunk Women Solving Crime. It is my pleasure to introduce our guest for this episode. It is the fantastic comedian and writer, Laura Lex.
Hey. Hello.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
I mean, it was really minimal effort. I've just been the bedroom. This is like the least effort anyone's ever gone to be on a podcast. I'm delighted.
Oh, it's still, well, I was saying on a meeting the other day, I'm like, thanks for, I had never met this person, and I just went, thanks for giving me a reason to shower. And I was like, don't say that. New person. But tonight I haven't even, so I've run out of reasons. Laura, the first thing we always ask on this podcast is, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yeah, I guess I have. I really was like, oh, it made me think I've been pretty lucky. I was once a victim of crime when I was younger. So I must have been about 17. And I am from a little village in Somerset, which is about a 20-minute, about a 40-minute walk. Yeah. Do you know Somerset?
Yeah, my husband is from Somerset.
Ah, well, I'm from a village just outside a town called Taunton.
Oh, my God. Okay, continue. Sorry. And it's a bit...
I was walking home from Taunton to Norton Fitzwarren, and so it's quite a long walk. And as I got, I was about 20 minutes home, and I was walking past a park, and this guy flashed me from in ahead.
Ooh. It wasn't Katie's husband, was it?
And I was kind of like, you know, when you're 17 and you're just a little bit bulletproof. So I just rang my mate and was like, ha ha ha, some perverts just flashed me from edge. Like, didn't feel worried at all. Yeah. Kept walking. And then I got to Staple Grove. And the same guy flashed me from another hedge.
Oh, shit.
My God. So,
I had to assume that he had a car somewhere near the first part.
Oh, really? Running.
Yeah, but and then I sort of looked at him again and then just carried on walking home, which in hindsight I really wish I'd done more to keep myself safe. But I think that's the only crime I've ever been a victim of, is a double flashing.
Wow.
By like a really persistent flasher.
Yeah. That's so weird.
I've never heard of a double flash. We've had a lot of exposure crimes on this, as you can well imagine, but never a double. So, okay, I like details on these. So how far was the first hedge from the next?
Yes,
like,
we're talking good
like
question.
The town over. Did you walk to the next location?
Yeah, I did. I walked it. So I guess he could have walked it and just been sort of walking ahead. But I guess it must have been a good 15-minute walk, I would guess. But I'd like to know whether he was a bit disappointed that he got the same fish twice, or was, ooh, like, is that a double layer to his excitement of, I got her again?
That's the thing. Are you one of six people to live in your town, and it was inevitable he was going to either get you or like one of the other five people?
No, Taunton's decent size, and like, so walking from Taunton to Norton Fitzwarren, so the village I sort of got sort of flashed first on the outskirts of Taunton, and then the second flashing was in Staple Grove, which is like the village in between Taunton and Norton.
So it's coincidence, or
yeah, I guess so, or he has a circuit and I have a
I was thinking, I'm like, were they giving out merch? Is it like it's a designated area of natural beauty? Or
this guy has a circuit. See, I think he's like, it's good that you were 17 and kind of bulletproof, because I feel like his MO is the second time is more intimidating than the first, because you would feel like you're being followed, you would start to feel less safe, you can kind of laugh off the first flash me once, shame on you. Like, flash me twice, oh shit, I'm being followed by a predator, like, that's quite horrible, like, because it's the intimidate, like, they get off on making you scared and intimidated, and then whatever the fuck else, depending on whether they're the thick or thin end of the fucking wedge. But like, so that's like properly nasty. But I love that you were 17 and bulletproof and just like, oh my God, how did he get here?
Do you ever look back at like your teenage years and you just think like I remember once when I was a younger stand-up comic and I was on the M25 and my car overheated and I was supposed to be going up to Leeds to do a gig, and I really couldn't afford to miss the gig, but the car overheated and I'd like pulled over onto the hard shoulder. And this guy came up and was like, where are you going? And I said, Leeds. And he went, I'm going the same way and I've got an empty transporter lorry. Do you want me to put your car on the back of the transporter? And I did it.
No!
And I think, wow. Laura, what would you thinking, you psychopath? Like, you can't just put your car on the back of someone's lorry and get in the cab and be like, doo, doo. But at the time I was like, I've got to go and play Jonglers, like, I can't get that money.
This is life or death.
Just what, the absolute bulletproof nature of like, oh, no one would hurt me, I'm too nice, doo, doo, doo. Idiot.
But he actually took you to Leeds. It worked out.
He was super nice. He was absolutely lovely. He took me about halfway, I think, and then he had to go somewhere else, and then by then my car had cooled down and I carried on with the drive to Leeds.
Happy story.
Yeah.
Oh, just like car cooling service. Wow.
Oh man. So you never hear those stories in the news, do you?
I almost feel like you
and when you
when you do hear this phrase, it's just a person getting into someone's car. It's never a car getting into a car.
Yeah. But it's much harder to exit out of as well.
Very, I like the Knight Rider feel of it.
Well, I was going to say, does this turn you on, Taylor? That the car is being given a ride by...
Oh, so you saw that thread.
I heard about your...
So everyone knows of my Knight Rider fetish. Okay, fine.
It's a good fetish.
Ooh, it's great. Come on. What a metaphor. So the one thing we like to ask people is, if the perpetrator were in the room, he can be in a cage, he's definitely clothed, whatever, you're safe. What would you want to say to him now?
Probably, "You're right, babe. You okay? Like, shouldn't you have better things to do with your day?"
Yeah.
And I'd probably be like, "If that's what you need to do, do you want to let me know and you can just flash me? Because I really didn't mind." And then it will save you flashing somebody else that will be sad about it. Because I was sort of fine with it.
I would love to know. Anyone that ever had, like, is flashing a phase, it feels very much like it would be a lifelong pursuit. Like, is he still going?
Well,
he's old, so he has to, like, hobble to the next hedge. Like, have the hedges gotten closer?
But you hear that, seasonal? Like, it's like the gateway drug, isn't it, to proper sexual assault, I've heard. Just to bring tone right down, guys.
No, it
like,
is.
But
it
that's
is.
What they—that's what they say, isn't it? They say that sort of some of them start doing that. I mean, that's not a hard and fast rule, but like, oh yeah,
sorry, not appropriate. No, okay.
we've got to lighten this. It's got,
yeah,
it's
someone
got.
Had to lighten that up. So. But yeah, but no, so like true. What he's doing now, I mean, who knows? But let's hope.
I always thought it was like the gateway into politics. I read a different article. Thanks to Laura for our first double flash tale.
Yeah.
Go Taunton. Not
drunk
really.
Women first.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Are we ready to solve some true crime?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I've made such a rookie error, and I've printed this in regular 12-point font, so just bear with me as I read. We're out of printer paper, which in any other period of time would be fine, but now we're like, we have no access to paper. We cannot get paper.
We start, like, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, now we're about a month into this, or 3 weeks to a month into this, you start running out of the things that you don't think of. Like, bubble bath is a big thing for me. I mean, I'm a spoiled bitch, but like, kind of like, there's no bubble bath for my sort of weekly bath this week. And
that's the kind of thing you never anticipate, because bubble bath only comes in like a 3-gallon jug. I've never seen like less than.
Yes.
So to use it up, I mean, that's a feat in and of itself. You can use shampoo, maybe. I don't know. Don't listen to me. Don't get a rash because of me. Okay.
Anyway, like all the boys.
That is Katie Wilkins with some extra enjoyment. Okay. So this case was actually sent to us from a listener called Olivia. Thank you, Olivia, who sent us this post on Twitter from an account called The Whores of Yore.
It's a great name.
Oh, I love
great account.
I follow that account. Yeah.
Oh. Well, I'm so glad they did, because I got fascinated by this story. So here's where we shall begin. At 3 a.m., a woman is awoken by the crash of glass breaking from her front door. Before she can even get to her shotgun, two men burst into her
bedroom. She has a shotgun, though.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. That's what's by your bed. Okay.
I said that like it's so commonplace, didn't I? Couldn't even get to my shotgun. So first question, are the men armed? The two men that burst into the bedroom, are they armed? What do we think?
I mean, if she has a shotgun, I'm going to assume they do.
Yeah, if you're breaking into somewhere where people regularly have shotguns, you're taking...
And you've taken a knife, you're not going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't take a knife to a gun
At the very least, something to break the glass on the door, like just one of those little, like, there's a fire hammers.
They've got weapons of some kind.
Yeah, that is very sound logic. Very sound.
They arrive with very bloody hands. They have not thought this through.
Ow! You. You have some gauze. That accent has no bearing on where this takes place. So don't think it's a hint. Hannah, any advance on this?
No, I agree. If, like, to be blunt, if a woman has a gun, then I think the men are going to have guns because...
have 8 guns.
You know, yeah, we don't know when this was, but I'm sure... I mean, I don't even know the rules about guns, but I feel as though women were probably not allowed guns
if she's got access.
Yeah. It could be her husband's gun, in which case she should not touch it.
So... the answer is no. They are unarmed.
Oh.
And they are also unmasked. They are described as two men in their 50s. One of them is wearing a pair of gloves. The other... Sorry.
I bet he did the glass then.
Yeah.
They're not idiots, are they?
Yeah.
They might be. I think they're about to get shot.
Well, or the other guy is wearing a pair of socks over his hands. Which I just really love. I don't want to criticize intruders, like, they're doing their best, but, like, do better.
You should criticize intruders.
How do you not have access to gloves? Like, we only have one pair.
If you're going to do something as risky as burgling, you'd think you'd, like, do it. Like, a mugging, I get that that would happen on the spur of the moment.
Yeah.
Breaking into someone's house, wouldn't you plan it? You'd at least do it on a day after you've been glove shopping.
Exactly. This is not improv. This is a play. Come on. This is premeditated.
And even worse, like, if he took off his own socks, he's going to look like one of those fucking hipster businessmen that don't wear socks. And that's even worse.
Just in deck shoes.
Oh, no, horrible.
Who's guy thinking?
His shoes will rub when he's trying to run away.
Mm. That's how he gets caught.
Just bleeding hands and blistered feet. I bet they live on a boat.
Are they like really hard? Are they like meth heads and they've not, like, this is their best chance to get stuff?
Well, I can't guarantee I ever have an answer for the socks, but it's quite an image. But based on this very limited information, what year do we think this is? What's your gut feel?
All right, so glass has been invented.
Yeah.
So, socks have been invented.
Socks. Shotguns,
yeah, obviously. Okay, so she's got a glass front door and it feels modern-ish. Like, I'm thinking 70s?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I can't. When did they start putting glass in front doors? Because, like, in the olden days, that would have been like, you wouldn't do that. You would just have a sturdy door.
Yeah. Oh, also, the fact that this was on the Whores of Yore Twitter feed, does that tell us it's a little older?
Ooh.
Yeah. What counts as a Yore whore?
Yeah. When was Yore? We would say this happened in the period of Yore.
Yeah. But it was between Yore and the 70s.
Okay.
I'm going to go with these guys. Completely right.
Okay. That was all.
Our reasoning is solid. Come on.
It genuinely was, though. You really, like, seriously, I'm very impressed. A little bit earlier than 70s, but you were not far off. It was 1957.
Okay. So quite a modern one.
It's quite a modern one.
And that's what we meant by 70s.
Yes, that was the 7 we were thinking of. And obviously, that was when the glass came down in price. People started putting it in their doors.
It was the 50-70s, which is the Priti Patel way of saying 1957.
So next, the woman insists she has no money. The larger of the two men grab the woman by her feet and they begin shaking her violently.
I wondered what that vein word was going to be then. They grabbed her by her feet and began shaking her violently.
Well, this is a great segue now. Uh-oh. Until something comes loose from her nightgown. What is it?
Her vagina.
Oh, God.
It was her vagina.
Her vagina fell out. I might have taken the getting drunk before this too seriously.
Absolutely not possible.
It came out of a nightgown.
Or maybe a pet.
could be like, if it's 57, did they have heating then? Like maybe she slept with like a... You're all looking like, at me.
Water bottle. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. They had those clay ones then, didn't they? They're like piggy type thing.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go with a set of keys.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay.
Or like if it was a cartoon, a whole safe, just... Ka-dunk.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well,
Laura, you're officially the closest.
Ooh.
Wow. Treasure chest.
It was not a chest, but it was indeed a wad of cash.
Nice.
Oh, she slept
in
with
a nightgown.
Ball of moves. She's using rolled up balls of notes as tampons.
She's got
who
money.
Hasn't been there, money, but things are going well.
Closer than her shotgun.
The money was closer than her shotgun?
Yeah.
Mm. This woman's dodgy.
Just like the same. Keep your money close and your shotguns further. She had a wad of money wrapped in a towel that was then pinned to her nightgown. So they knew this, and they're shaking this money free. So the next question is, how much money do you think this was? It's 1957, and I will give you a very big hint. It was in dollars.
Oh, so are we in America?
Oh. Or Australia?
We don't know yet. So how much?
I'm mouthing I don't know, which is really excellent podcast content.
I'm trying to work out how much money I would need to have in cash to sort of strap it to myself.
But that was quite common, like back in the day, older school than this, but 19th century and things like that. If you had valuables, you would sew them into your clothes, like gems and money and stuff. You'd sew them into the hem or like inside the skirts or stuff. And that's how you transported valuables before, like banks and stuff. Yeah.
Hidden close.
So it's not like, I'm not saying this is normal in the 50s. I don't know, but like that idea's come from somewhere.
Yeah. It's a safety precaution.
Like maybe that's what the little pocket's for in the pajamas. You know, you got that little pocket just over your tit, and you're like, "What's that for?" Yeah, it's for my savings. Very big pocket, actually.
Building society. $1 million. Let's go crazy.
Okay,
I'm thinking like £15,000.
That is absolutely spot
on.
Oh,
nice. Was it all in dollar bills?
I mean, dollars,
yeah,
all $1 bills. No, she had a huge nightgown. So the men, wow, that's amazing. That's the exact number we wanted. The men collect the money, and then they proceed to tie the woman up in her bed. They escape. I'm now going to reveal that this woman is Pansy Mae Studdard. What a name. Pansy Mae Studdard, where are we? Is my next question.
I feel Alaska. Like it's like Indiana or something.
Feels Indiana. I feel you.
It's the double-barreled, isn't it? The kind of the pansy.
But the fact that you've said, where are we? And you wouldn't clarify on the dollars. Are we looking for a state or are we looking for a country?
I think a country would be fine. I think this is a tricky question. It would be for me. I like to ask questions that I couldn't answer.
I'm sticking with Alaska.
Oh, okay. You're going to go specific US and it's Alaska.
I'm going to say...
The pressure to be right now, Laura. Now that you've really smashed there.
Yeah, you're on a winning streak. Whatever you feel is probably right.
What did you say? Pansy Mae.
Pansy Mae.
Actually, that does sound southern, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? But I feel like I'm going to go for a country. Like, where else has dollars? I think I'm going to say Australia.
And I'm going to go with the US because Laura said it first and she's always right.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's a tricky question. The answer is actually Canada.
Oh. Hey, I think I'm the closest with Alaska.
You were geographically the closest. Well done. Because we are on the West Coast. We're in British Columbia, outside of Vancouver. Yeah. So one more question before we move on to some further details about Pansy Mae. How old is Pansy Mae when this happens? What are you picturing?
Well, she's on her own, which in 57 would imply...
Pretty old.
Like 22 or younger, if there's no...
What do you reckon?
Well, because they all got married at fucking 18.
Oh, but she could be a widow, right?
Yeah, that's what I was...
Yeah, why she got the money. Widow. Yeah, okay.
Because young, I'd be like, oh, they lived with
student flatmates or with her family.
That's true. She's in a house that, okay. Well then, 27, dead husband, 27, 28.
Oh, tragedy in the 20s.
That's fucking bleak. Okay.
I'm going to say 70s. I think she's like 73.
Okay.
I'm going to go like, I'm going to go 80 because she's wearing like a nightgown and you sort of wear
They all wore them in the 57s.
Hannah George, you are the closest. She was 84 years old when this happened.
I was about to say I'm going to be so upset if it's an old lady. That really sucks. You don't want to tie up an old lady. Come on.
I know. But listen, Pansy Mae had had a hell of a life. So now we're going to back up to the start of our story.
Oh, I hope born she was like a mafia boss.
Ooh. Born Pansy Mae Miller in Syracuse, New York. So she was American. In 1875, she was born. She came to Canada in about 1905 and married Rupert Studdard, who was a sea captain. Sounds like something Laura would tweet about. Captain by Laura Lex. The couple purchased 5 boats for a freight business, and then Pansy herself became a licensed skipper. I nerded out on some of these details because some sources credit her as North America's first female sea captain, but I wanted to look into that. And from what I found, that honor actually goes to somebody called Molly Cool.
Oh, who was that he did.
Molly. She's so cool.
Molly Cool.
Molly Cool.
Yes. I think it's time for female lockdown. Oh, yeah. Credit to somebody on Twitter suggested we sing around female lockdown around.
You're going to do it all together?
Oh, sure. Okay.
Female lockdown. Oh, it's perfect. It worked so well.
Beautiful. We can sing at your party. Call us. Okay. So Molly Cool, I just couldn't not give credit to Molly Cool because it looks like she was actually
the first
captain.
Do you think she was really tiny? A molecule?
Oh my God, I wish this podcast had video because Laura's face on the whole of that was amazing. And then when you disappeared from the screen because you went back laughing, that was amazing.
It's so hard to get a look of pride and shame at the same time. That was like, wow, prime. Shied. Okay. Anyway, enough about sea captains. Pansy Mae was
one said seaman yet. Sorry.
I'm so glad you said molecule because I was like, oh, this name is great on so many levels. And everybody just took that. And this is why we do this, guys. This is like-minded people. Okay. Pansy Mae, so fascinating. Like stuff I can't even get into because I want to get to the nitty gritty. But along with driving the boats, it's not called that though. I never know. What do you do to a boat?
Sail it?
Captain it. Or steer it?
Yeah.
Steer it. Do you see what I mean? There's not like that go-to verb like I did the boat.
I mean,
I sailed.
But if you're not sailing. Anyway, guys, let us know. So along with the boat stuff, doing the boats, she was a keen game hunter, and she was also an aspiring artist who went to art school. Did she finish?
Ooh.
No, she got pregnant.
Ooh, I like it.
She did not finish, which is fine. This is a bit of an intro to her personality. She said that it cramped her style and that she was more into landscapes than the straight lines that they taught.
I'm going off this bitch.
I like her. I like her even more.
Like, that's authority.
Yeah.
Now, something happens in the U.S. in 1920, which leads Pansy Mae and her husband Rupert, to turn to crime. Do we know what
happened?
Prohibition, Katie Wilkins.
Yeah, baby, I know my alcohol.
You might know all this then, Katie, because I learned stuff about Prohibition that I didn't know. Like, I didn't know that it fell along religious lines. Did you know this?
Oh, yes. The Protestants And but the thing is, because when we learned this at school, I was like, oh my god, all these fucking women moaning about alcohol, why are all the women in history such killjoys? I'm siding with the men because, like, 90s feminism. But it turns out that, like, basically women had no rights and men were beating the shit out of their wives and they had no legal recourse, and it seemed more plausible to ban alcohol than it did to get legal rights for women.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
There was that cool baller old woman, wasn't there, that went around with a baseball bat, like smashing up pubs and alcohol in bars. I can't remember what she's called, but she was awesome, like vigilante smasher up of pubs to protect women from domestic violence.
Yeah, we gotta do that one. So there's so many layers to it. I did, because my recollection was it was taught in such a black and white way, and it was just like, well, this didn't work. it was a nationwide constitutional ban, which lasted from 1920 to 1933. It was led by, as Katie said, the pious Protestants, who are known as the Drys.
What are they? Very witty.
It was all like slogans, like good husbands, good families, good, like it wasn't that, but it was something like that. It was like all about keeping husbands sober.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of the way the Republican Party is now, pushing family values. There are a lot of the same things. But what's funny is that the Democrats and Republicans were both on board with this, which is probably the last time they've agreed on anything. And there were grassroots movements like the Women's Christian Temperance Union. But opposition from the beer industry, which I didn't realize how big the beer industry already was at that time. So they mobilized the wet supporters. pause for jokes or laughter.
Wow.
And they tended to be the wealthy Catholics and German Lutheran communities.
Wow.
Which just made me giggle because I'm like, nobody's going to take booze from the Catholics, right? Like, that's the one thing you have. When you're Catholic. So I love they fought for it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
So, question, was there prohibition in Canada?
Oh, man, I don't know, but I'm going to say no, because that's where these guys went.
In Canada would have been under British rule, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and then they were going to run it over the border for their mafia business. Because this was the invention of the mafia, basically, because everyone wanted booze.
Mm. And this is post-British rule when this is happening.
Of course,
Yeah. Kenna G, what do you think? Canadian prohibition?
I just think, yeah, no. I think you can booze in Canada. I remember when I went to Canada, they have a thing where you have to, and they have this in lots of countries, where you can't buy booze in supermarkets and you have to go to like another shop to get your booze.
Oh, that happens in Norway too.
Right, that blew my mind. I was like, wow, you are so lucky in this country, man.
Well, in Norway, you can buy like beer in the supermarket, but anything like hard, like liquors, hard spirits, liquor. You have to go to a special alcohol shop, and it shuts really early.
In Sweden, it's all like state regulated how much it costs. I think they have the same thing where you go to a special alcohol store.
It's still state by state, which is crazy. So I grew up in Pennsylvania, and it has one of the strictest alcohol sales laws. And I'm kicking myself because I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's literally like the Tobacco, Firearms, and Alcohol Committee. They oversee all three of those things.
Wow.
And it's like, so it's like easy to get a gun, but do not try to get vodka in your local Sainsbury's.
Wow. On the Isle of Wight, we kind of had a thing that was like, if you look over 14 in a pub, you can get served. That was kind of the rules there. Like, yeah.
If they knew your dad would be all right with it. That
yeah. Kind of, yeah. Oh, well, no, David, yeah. He's lovely. You won't mind.
So, Canada did have prohibition, but it was a bit more complicated than in the U.S. Because the way it is now, it varied from province to province. So there was a blanket wartime ban from 1918 to 1920, but timing-wise, most of the provinces dropped the ban in the 1920s. So it kind of coincided
works out, yeah. So they can
we're done with it. So it put Canada in a totally strategic position for the bootleggers to smuggle alcohol. So back to Pansy May and Rupert. They decide that it's a good time to invest in some hotels. Wow. They live in one of them, which just happens to be right on the border of British Columbia and Washington State. not far from Surrey, British Columbia, just like all these town names. And yeah, they had some really innovative ways of getting the booze over the border. So I just wanted you to like put on your creative caps. How would you get booze over the border if you were a bootlegger?
In the 1920s.
Well, I'm wondering if she is like, you know, later on she's sewing money into her clothes. So is she sewing bottles of booze into her clothes?
Or she's like previous of,
you know, those bras you used to get that were full of like wet stuff to make your boobs look bigger? Like you could pump one of those with
booze.
Oh, wow.
Can I just say something? I've had an idea. Mulled wine at Christmas in a hot water bottle. Take it to bed. Isn't that brilliant? I mean, that's the best idea I've ever had.
What, and then drink it?
What's you can drink it at night. You could just like, if you wake up and you're like, it's Christmas, I need to keep my alcohol levels high. Pop that open. Oh, it tastes a bit rubbery, but it's still warm and I have it out of bed. No, that's, I'm going to be a fucking millionaire.
Wait, just bring some mulled wine to bed.
It wouldn't be hot.
But I think that's also from an article called Signs You Have a Problem.
I wrote that article.
Also, I want you to learn about something called a thermos.
Yes, that was the word I was looking for.
I think that's
much easier to drink out of.
Oh, a Chili's bottle. They stay hot for 12 hours and cold for 24.
Ooh. But I think...
We're not even sponsored by them, but there you go.
I think going back to the question now, I think Laura's probably right that maybe it was on her person, but also... That border, does it have any sort of...
No, it's got to be bulk, you guys. It's got to be like a truck that says it's full of gas, but it's actually full of booze, or it's like ethanol or something.
Is there any sort of seas or barrels rivers, and did they do it via boats? Because they're boat people, right?
Ah, there we go. Yes, they're right close to you. This is what they know.
But detective butt stuff, sorry.
Thanks, mate.
And detective boat stuff.
Yay.
So then I started laughing about molecule in my head again. So it's everything's great. I'm so sorry. I keep losing my place. I need to keep my finger. Where's my finger?
Also, all I can picture is that Simpsons episode where they think they've still got their prohibition. Like, that's all I'm picturing. Homer going head to head with that guy and then getting fired out of a cannon.
One source claimed that the property that they were living in was so literally on the border that they could collect legally from the front door
and then
hand out the back door.
Oh my God, that is awesome.
I couldn't find a way. There's such limited information on this woman and I wanted to know so much more. I'm like, I need some, yeah. But I love that. It's just, it's great. That's way too adorable to be true, but. Yeah.
That is amazing.
It seems as far-fetched as like Seth Rogen's romantic leads in films, you know. It's just that's not happening, is it? That just popped in my head. It didn't work out, but
all I was thinking in my head was my husband looks so alarmingly like Seth Rogen. I have to watch Seth Rogen romantic films. Like, yep, sure. Of course this woman's fallen in love with him.
That was the same thing on my head. I was like, he looks, a little bit again, like my partner. And I'm like, It's like Rogan. I watch it and I get it. I get it.
Goofy, hairy looking guy. Love them. Can't get enough of them. Yeah.
And I totally have a crush on him. So I don't know why I threw him under a bus. It's because I just watched Longshot and I was like, Charlize Theron, though? Really?
Well, yeah.
But yeah.
Can I just say this is the most fun I've had all lockdown. Thank you so much. I actually forgot about the world for a little bit then. I'm so happy.
Boats. We'll always have boats. So, as Hannah said, their main mode of transport was by boat. They knew all the right people on both sides of the border, so it was pretty easy for them.
Oh, can I make a prediction?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know the guys that broke in at the beginning? I think they were law enforcement.
But they were unarmed.
Interesting. The socks give it away.
Oh, yeah. They
but they could be people from the past. They could be mafia people owed money us. But again, the socks.
They were British law enforcement funded by a Tory government.
They just had sticks.
I like your thinking. I like how they went back to the... You went back to the beginning, and it's not that satisfying. When we return to the beginning, you're going to be like, oh, okay.
Fucking methods. Anyway, continue.
Oh, sorry. So they put their engineering knowledge into place. So they built this huge pulley system that they could load up with booze from the house, and then they would jimmy it all the way down to this remote cove where boats would come and pick it up.
Okay.
That's pretty badass.
Fair enough.
It also jostled... This comment's really just for me, much like the Seth Rogen one. But this reminded me of my dad. My dad's really handy with carpentry, and he built us a treehouse when we were little, and I totally had forgotten this. And he built a little pulley system, like it was really high up, so my mom would put sandwiches in it, and we'd like, oh. No, don't worry. There was trauma, too. It was not. Come on.
Not on sandwich day. Yeah.
Sorry. I remember that there was this thing in the 90s. There was a thing called a power workshop. Does anyone remember a power workshop? It was like this Christmas number one thing that you could get for your kid, and it was like, so you could do sort of like woodwork and stuff, but it was like a toy, and I wanted it so badly, and my dad didn't get it from the Isle of Wight Argos in time for Christmas, so went down to Hearst's, which is our local kind of ironmonger DIY store, and just bought me like a toolbox and a bag of nails, and it was amazing, and a hammer, and then and I built my own treehouse, and it was the best. Like, I was like, Dave's been slightly incompetent there, not getting me the Christmas present, but my God, it was the greatest moment of my life when I was just like, I'm fucking sore in here.
Really cool. How old were you, Hannah?
Oh, I was like 7 or 8, like.
And he got you a saw for Christmas.
Yeah, and a hammer and a bag of nails. It was amazing.
Jesus Christ.
So they made a lot of money doing this, no surprise, but not content with the small fortune they made from bootlegging, Pansy May also set up another business, which was also illegal. Any guesses what that might have been?
Prostitution.
Ooh. Oh my God.
She opened a brothel.
Wow. She just goes all in.
She's a real...
Let's break the law properly. Here we go.
Type of, I don't know. So I hate the word brothel. I just want to put that out there.
Sex but she worker ran a workplace.
A sex worker workplace. I just hate the word brothel because it ruins the word broth, and I love a good broth. I don't care about sex work. I just really like broth. So they had 16 rooms in their hotel, and she was quoted, it's a place to bring a girl for a drink, and if you don't have a girl, we'll supply one.
Oh. Wow.
Could you imagine going on a date and your boyfriend just being like, should we go to the brothel for a drink?
I know. But it was probably a great bar. Like, I bet they ran a really fun bar.
Yeah, with everyone having to whisper. Actually, if they're far enough away from anyone else.
Yeah, I get
this. How do you get drunk people to whisper? I've never understood this.
I don't know. That's a really good question. That's why they were all in basements, right?
Like, yeah.
Question, were they ever caught? Did they ever do time?
He did, she didn't.
Ooh.
Nice. How it should be.
Yeah, that's a great guess.
It is a good guess.
Although Taylor's shaking her head, so I'm going to go, she did, he didn't.
Ooh. I'm going to go, no one did.
Ooh. Katie, you're correct.
Yes!
So they were absolutely rated several times. Ooh. But it seems that it was mostly for show. Because Pansy Man
connected. It was a corrupt police force.
We don't know, but
yeah, the police like a drink. Come on.
And a woman.
Yeah. And a woman. It's true.
And a woman who can drive a boat.
Yeah, all of the sex workers at their brothels were trained to drive boats.
But, and also, to keep the police happy, I mean, my God, yeah, this thing goes all the way to the top.
Well, God, I didn't even think of that, but what an obvious bribe. Like, how about a drink and a girl, officer? Yeah. Mm. So she would go to court.
Oh, look, I just dropped this in front of you.
Vagina.
Thank you. I was going to say Susan, but you went right for
the anatomy.
Yes.
Her vagina fell out of her nightgown. So she would just pay the fee. Like, she would just go and do the little show.
Fine, and it's a fine, and she's loaded. She can pay the fines.
Not a fee, a fine. Yeah, and the fines weren't that much. They were just, like, a couple $100s. So it was really just this, like, yeah, we're cracking down on it, everybody.
Yeah, it was for show. Fines just mean legal for rich people.
And the other thing she did just on the business side is she registered her premises as a cabaret, and it was called Pansy May's Cabaret.
Right. Nothing to see here. It's just a cabaret. Yeah. Everyone's got their tits out, but it's a cabaret.
Yeah. I think this happened quite a lot because, they have a lot that's going on otherwise. Like, they have kids. She's a grandmother eventually. Like, so she's a family.
Wow.
Let's fast forward to that night in 1957. Okay. Pansy May has been assaulted, resulting in a leg injury that would put her in a cast. So she's hurt. She's bound to the bed. She's 84 years old.
Ooh.
What happens next?
Vengeance on these douchebags with the socks, I hope.
Her grandchildren come running in, each with a saw in their hand. I hope she gets comeuppance. She can't just die in her bed, right?
That would be really shitty of me, huh?
Yeah.
There's got to be some, like, Breaking Bad. Last plan.
If we know she got a cast on the leg, then we know she's getting out of the bed. Because she's got to go and get the cast.
Yes, she doesn't die in the bed. She gets medical assistance, yes.
They've tied her to the bed, but they weren't wearing masks, we knew at the beginning. So does she escape later and recognize them?
Yes, she must know. She'll be able to ID them.
Yeah, but would she go to the police? Yes, because she knows the police.
What? She still runs the police.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I think we should bear in mind that this is like 1957 by this point, right? By the time she's in the thing. So there's no prohibition anymore. And also, I mean, it's interesting because what would she be doing then? Because somebody who had a brothel and was bootlegging back in like the 1920s and the 1930s, by the time she's 84, like, is she still doing this life of crime? Or is she?
No, she's a widow. They gave it up. She's a widow. They're comfortable financially. I couldn't find when Rupert died, but she's on her own. So she's just like her. Well, I don't want to. Okay. Let me tell you what happened. And then I'll tell you everything I could find out. There is an element of frustration because there's a huge question mark on this. And I'm hoping that somebody in the area can find the info that I could not find. But here's what we know.
That's what we do.
Well, there we go. So she's a badass. She frees herself
from the bed, aged 84.
She's had a lot of practice of getting out of bonds because she's owned
sex.
She grabs one of three guns that she's got in the room with her, and she hobbles towards the door on this, like, wrecked leg.
Jesus.
She does it so quickly that she can still see the men running off in the distance.
And she got a gun now.
So she fires twice. They're way too far to actually hit them, but she shoots twice.
Wow.
So although she doesn't hit them, you have to imagine that if you've just like...
had your leg broken.
You've shook an old woman and tied her up in bed, and then you hear gunshots 2 minutes later. Like, you shit your pants a little bit, yeah. No matter how much money you have. But here's the part I don't know. I don't know if they were found and convicted. I could not.
How can that not be known?
They can never show their face again in polite burglar society, though. Can you imagine that? Like breaking into a sleeping 84-year-old's house with socks on your hands and tying her up so badly and leaving her with her gun that she might not leave that town and shoot you.
That's terrible. I know.
Her gun. Like, so, I mean, they probably weren't convicted if it's not on record.
I'm not saying it's not on record. I just couldn't. I absolutely could not.
But if it's not obviously on record, it sounds like they got away.
Well, here's why it wasn't obvious. What did happen? And one little detail, well, two details. One, she recognized one of the men because he had mugged her weeks before. So that made me even more frustrated because I'm like, if she could give like
proper test, ID'd him basically.
So work in progress on that. We'll find out what happened. We will get to the bottom of this. But what did happen is, oh, sorry, silly detail because it relates to our listener crime. She was alone in the house, except she had a cocker spaniel called Muffet. But he was so friendly that he just, like, followed the robbers.
Oh, Christ.
Not a helpful dog, no. But, like, so sweet. Haven't we all been a bit Muffet at one point or another?
I reckon that they were never convicted because she doesn't believe in using the law to settle. Like, I reckon they're much more likely in an unmarked grave somewhere than gone through the law.
That's interesting.
Oh, let's now hope that. So.
I like that.
That is an interesting conclusion.
That's a good theory.
That feels much more pansy May, doesn't it?
It does.
So what we do know is that she did like press. So this is why we even know anything about this woman is because she became sort of a minor celebrity overnight because they put her in the paper and there's a great photo of her holding this pistol. She became known as Pistol Packin' Pansy. And everyone just fucking loved her. Like, even though she didn't get these guys, they're like, yeah, she got out of the ropes and shot at them. Like, she was a hero.
But in Canada.
Yeah.
Canada was like, yeah, guns for 84-year-olds and everything. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's a feel-good story. I'd be on board. It just feels like more American than a Canadian.
Canada still has quite a few guns. They just don't seem to have the same problems that we do. Turned it into a little fundraiser song.
Really, that made me want to shoot someone. So it was,
it's like a McDonald's jingle.
So, I mean, that kind of brings us to the end of the tale. Of course, there's more. We'll try to find out what happened with these dudes. I'm also picturing, like,
Laura's right. They're in an unmarked grave. Hmm.
That didn't even occur to me, and this is why we brought you on the force.
Yeah,
the bullshit.
Right.
So, Pansy lived another few years to the ripe old age of 87 and died peacefully at home. So, let's raise a glass to Pansy May.
Cheers, Pansy May.
Drunk women solving crime.
Our listener crime is from Alex, who coincidentally lives in Canada.
Ooh.
And there's another coincidence in this story, which is why I chose this one. She just emailed this to us, and I was like, whoa, this is crazy. So she's from the other side of Canada. She's from Quebec. And she writes, this happened when I was about 14, living with my parents. Good to know. I lived with my parents, too. No shame. While we always locked the front door, we usually left the back door unlocked.
Wow.
Maybe they lived on the border too. Who knows?
Special deliveries.
One night, my dad gets woken up by our dog's cries of barely contained joy and finds her in the kitchen cuddling a complete stranger sat at our kitchen table. My dad's remarkably chill in times of crisis, so he just asked the guy who he was and what he was doing in our home. feels like The Sixth Sense, right? That's what popped into my head.
His
dad is, Bruce Willis got shot. Sorry, continue.
This is true. This does not happen here. Dated reference. That could also be my jingle. Dated reference. Okay. Apparently his name was Michelle and he was looking for cigarettes.
But no dad one else can see him.
Dad said we didn't smoke and told him he should probably leave, which he did. Crime in Canada is so chill. It's just like, well, could you not murder us? Fine.
Yeah.
So the question is, was Michelle a burglar or some sort of serial murderer who got distracted by our adorable dog? Was he just very confused and happened to open our gate, cross the backyard, go up the stairs and into our house to look for ciggies? To this day, we wonder what happened to Michelle. I have a theory. I think this man became Justin Trudeau, which brings us back. What do you guys think? It's quite a story.
Okay, the only thing I will say is that psychopaths love dogs.
Wait, what?
Maybe I mean sociopaths, but like loads. You know, if you do the psychopath test, the John Ronson one, there's like 10 questions.
Oh, I haven't done that.
You find out if you're a psychopath.
Oh, I'm frightened too.
Well, that basically means you're not a psychopath, because a psychopath wouldn't be frightened. But one of the things is like psychopaths often have dogs as pets, because dogs are very obedient and psychopaths are control freaks. Now, this was not this person's dogs. I'm just throwing it out there. This guy liked dogs. Maybe he's a psychopath. So he could be a killer, but I'm not ruling anything out at this point.
Now, I've never heard that, though. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So like, who do we know in history who was... The clinical term now is antisocial personality disorder.
Really? Oh, come on, psychopath is easier.
Do you have any examples?
Oh, what?
Like, did Ted Bundy have a dog?
That movie would have been so much more fun if he had.
Oh,
God. Can you imagine? Like, a kind of Homeward Bound. Like
Bundy and me.
Bundy and me smashed it. The dog dies at the end, but by whose hand? We don't know.
The dog testifies in court, like, I call to the stand my golden retriever.
Oh my God, dogs are so loyal, though. They'd just be like, oh, he didn't do it, he's fine, he's great.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It feels to me like the Canadian Breaking guy. Like, this feels like a substance abuser, but like a non-aggressive substance. So like really stoned or on something quite mellow. It doesn't sound like alcohol, because I think you'd be aggro, but like, you know, really high or something, looking for more baccy, looking for more cigarettes, but quite pliable.
Yeah.
And got distracted by a dog in a fun way, not an angry way.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Mostly my walks, my government mandated walks at the moment, I spot a dog and I just follow it as much as I can, like 2 meters away. But I'm just like, you know, I've got no route to go because I'm not going anywhere. So I'm like, oh, just, and I saw like this really, like really bright white poodle the other day. It was huge. And I just pretended it was a ghost dog.
Was it in
and
the
I
sky? Because it might have been a cloud.
Oh shit. Okay. Yeah. I do slightly think that is more psychopathic behavior than just owning a dog. I think following a person with a dog, which I tend to do.
No, I think in the current circumstances, where else are you going to walk?
Then directly behind a dog. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That leaves us just enough time to ask Laura, and it's a funny old time to ask this. What have you got going on? What was your dog? Any gigs in your living room?
Well, what have I got going on? I've got a lot of rescheduled tour dates that people are welcome to have a look at if we're allowed out the house by next year. You probably, the best thing to do is, if you've liked this brand of nonsense, I'm on Twitter. I'm at Laura Lex. I'm there 24 hours a day. Sometimes it's jokes, sometimes it's despair, sometimes it's just begging for likes. That is my main source of dopamine at the moment. And I'm there a lot. Yeah. Can I please do a weird shout out to my friend Leah, who loves this podcast so much that she hosted a night for her friends on a like tribute to Drop
That's amazing.
And when I told her that I was going to be on it, she screamed. So hi, Leah, you're amazing.
Leah! Oh, Leah, you're a legend. That's amazing.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so sweet. Wow, I love it. Okay, well, guys, that brings us to the end. Thank you so much, Laura. This has been so fun. We've been Drunk Women Solving Crime. Follow us on social media. Send us your listener crimes. And do let your friends know what a good time we are.
Be like Leah.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.